Welcome to another edition of Public Perspectives this morning on AM 1340 KXEO. Special guest joining me in the studio, and it's Mr. Chris Gervino. Welcome to you, sir.
Thank you, Matt. It's good to be here. Always good to come to Mexico, one of my favorite towns in our area. It really is.
We're really glad to see you this morning. Tell us what your exact job title is so I don't mess that up.
Okay, I think I've got it figured out after all these years. I'm the sports director at KOMU TV, Channel 8 in Columbia. That's, of course, the full-time job. And then I'm very much involved with the Missouri Radio Network, which is a lot of fun on the Tiger football and basketball broadcasts.
Yes, indeed. And a big congratulations to you as this was your first year as color commentator for the basketball Tigers. That's super exciting, huh?
It was fun. The timing worked out pretty well because the team obviously improved greatly, had 20 wins, made it to the tournament. So, yeah, I really enjoyed it and look forward to more fun ahead.
I'd love to talk a little bit more about that here, too, in the
Whatever
program
like.
Today. Sure. So, tell us just a little bit about yourself, where you grew up at.
You know, I grew up in Tulsa, Oklahoma, went to high school there, and then came up to the University of Missouri. I graduated in 1988, so I guess I'm about 10 years older than you, and just stuck around the area. I was fortunate to get a job out of school at KMIZ-TV, the ABC affiliate in Columbia, and was there for a little more than 11 years, and then ended up getting an opportunity over at KOMU, Channel 8, and now this is my 19th year there, so... Again, you do the math, a 1988 college grad, and here we are in 2018, 30 years. Hard to believe. This is my 30th year.
That's amazing.
And time flies, man. They told me that, and it's true.
It really does, and you've seen a lot of sporting events over the years. Are there any particular favorites that come to mind?
Oh, gosh, that's a good question. You know, I've really been fortunate to have covered a lot, even just here in mid-Missouri. It's amazing all the events I've gone to around the country. A couple of Super Bowls with the Rams, of course, and, you know, I've gone to Major League All-Star games. But I think, you know, some of my fun memories have been just really covering the Missouri Tigers. And I always harken back to the 1997 season. Missouri had suffered 13 straight losing seasons of football. That was a long drought. And then in 97, they turned it around with a win at Colorado, 41-31. I remember the score. And just the emotion on the field after the game. You know, Coach Larry Smith, who's not with us anymore, may he rest in peace, but he was in tears on the field, Corby Jones. And it was just amazing, the first winning season and then locking up the first bowl game in 14 years. That is always one of the vivid memories I think I have.
Absolutely. Talking about the Colorado game, rather, that always brings to mind the
fifth down
game. Were you there for that?
I was there for that. I was up in the press box. It was right before. I think it was two seasons before I started my sideline reporting job. And, you know, honestly, I had a yellow legal pad just like you have here in the studio. And I at the time, would chart the plays for my television job. You know, what we'll show on the highlights that night. And I really thought, wait a second, it should be third down, not second down. I thought, well, I just screwed up. You know, surely the officials on the field had it right. Turns out they didn't. It was a big mistake. And so, yeah, of course, that lives on in infamy. But, yeah, I was there for that. And the flea kicker with the Nebraska game, of course, in 1997. And then the basketball Tyus Edney shot, of course, out in Boise, Idaho. I had a great seat for that right at midcourt. And, you know, UCLA was the number one seed that year in the national tournament, went on to win the championship. And I never thought Missouri was really going to win that game until there were 4.8 seconds left. And they had just scored a basket to go ahead by Julian Winfield. I thought, my gosh, they're going to pull off this upset. Sure enough, there was too much time left. But all those events, the fifth down, the flea kicker in football, and the Tyus Edney game in basketball, you know, the teams that beat Missouri in those games won national championships. Incredible.
Very good point. And I'm sure also with your job, you've met a lot of famous personalities, especially some coaching legends in the business. Can you talk a little bit about some of those folks?
Oh, sure. Gosh, I've gotten to talk to so many of them over the years. You know, Barry Switzer and Tom Osborne going back, you know, a while in football, and all the Missouri coaches, and, you know, so many in basketball. I've gotten an interview of Jim Boeheim. I remember they came to the Hearn Center one year, Syracuse, and got to do a quick one-on-one interview with him. And you know, there's just been so many great, great people. Teron Liu right here, Mexico, Missouri zone. What a great guy, and how proud everybody understandably is of him. He couldn't be nicer. I know a better guy giving back to the community. It's great to see what he's done with Cleveland.
Can you think of any one thing in common for these guys that holds them together as great coaches, great leaders?
That's a good question. You know, I think just the dedication, you know, the professionalism, the devotion to their job. I think, too, a lot of times, and sometimes maybe it starts out just by good fortune, but they surround themselves with good people, too. You know, there's always the boss, the head coach, if you will, but you got to have a lot of good help along the way. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Sometimes it might be, like I said, good luck, but I think you really surround yourself with good people.
Indeed. Now, I know you have a sports talk show that airs Sunday nights, I believe.
Correct.
And I'd like to talk to you a little bit more about that and some other things in the program. We'll take a break here right now, catch our breath, come back for segment two. It's Public Perspectives on AM 1340 KXEO. Welcome back to segment number two on Public Perspectives this morning. The sports director at Channel 8 KOMU, Chris Gervino, has joined us, and we certainly appreciate this today, sir.
My pleasure. Thanks for inviting me. I'm flattered.
Well, I'm super excited because I've grown up and watched you on the TV, and now you're here in person.
Here so. I am, yeah, in living color.
That's right.
Hope it's not disappointing.
Not at all. Not at all. Wanted to find out a little bit about you growing up. Did you always know you wanted to go into the broadcasting business?
You know, I really did. I really did. I guess I was lucky in that way. But I played, you know, all sports as a kid without great success. I guess I wasn't too worried about it then. But I just thought, you know, when I was in high school, I thought, okay, I'm really not going to be a pro athlete. Odds are against that. So what's the next best thing? But I did. Even in high school in Tulsa, I was lucky to go to a high school, a Washington high school, that had a TV production class and a little TV studio there. And I really got involved there. And my teacher back then said, you know, if you're serious about this, you really ought to look at the University of Missouri. And even though Oklahoma obviously is not far from here, I never really heard or thought much about Missouri until she said something that I looked into. And everywhere I looked or talked to people, they said, oh, yeah, good journalism school. Go up there, give it a shot. And so I did, and I've never left.
Right on. Growing up in Oklahoma, did you have a local radio station that you listened to or around in the town?
Just they had a couple of sports stations, news talk stations, kind of like KXEO here in Mexico for Tulsa. There was one, I remember, KRMG, did a lot of news talk and sports. And, yeah, so, you know, I was a fan of that, certainly growing up. And then I interned at the NBC affiliate there, Channel 2 in Tulsa, and had great experiences there in high school, even I think the first summer of college, I went back there and helped out. And, you know, that's when I really figured, and that's why I always encourage internships, because you really get a chance to learn if this is what you want to do. And even at Channel 8, we have a lot of journalism students involved, and I always tell them, I'm going to try to make this and keep this as real as possible for you guys, so you'll really know, you know, if this is what you want to do in the real world when you're done with school. I always say, I'm the only old guy. It's me, and anybody else you see on the air for sports there is a student, really. So it's a good experience for them, I think.
Certainly. Growing up, did you practice doing play-by-play or broadcasting?
You know, I did, actually. It's funny you should ask, and maybe you did the same as a fellow announcer and sports fan. But yeah, in fact, my mom, can't believe I'm telling this story because she embarrasses me enough with it, would tell when I was a kid, I had one of those little Fisher-Price, you know, xylophones, you know, that you'd play, and the mallet, of course, I would use as a microphone and talk into it and announce sports, and I just watch games on TV. So if nothing else, you know, I guess it's a blessing. I just knew at an early age, this really is what I want to do. And anybody who knows me for that long period of time, i.e. my immediate family, would tell you the same thing.
That's wonderful. Of course, this year, your first year as the color commentator for the Mizzou Basketball Tigers. And what a year to jump in with Konzo Martin, Jonte Porter, Michael Porter Jr. You know, I'm just kind of wondering, how did this all come about, and did Mike Kelly give you any advice coming into this thing?
You know, not really. Mike and I worked together for a long time with football. You know, I've been on the sideline for, gosh, 26 years now, and I think Mike's been doing football for 24 of those years. So, you know, we have a good relationship, and that's where I really felt, you know, pretty good that it would work out well, because we're comfortable together and know each other so well. So I thought the timing and everything would be okay, and I've been lucky to have filled in several times over many years, you know, in that particular position. So, yeah, really not, you know, not too much advice. I mean, he's certainly been helpful along the way, but nothing really jumps out at me, because he knew me and I knew him, and we've been hanging together for many years anyway.
Well, of course, you knew what you were doing going into it, but, you know, did it affect your schedule? Did you become extremely busy now that you're doing these duties as well?
Yeah, a lot of people ask me, boy, you must be busy. And I say, well, I've always been busy, but just a little more busy. And the TV station's been good. You know, they've been understanding and helpful working with that. And obviously, on all the home games, when I would do live shots from the arena before or after the game. And certainly on the big road games, you know, late in the season in terms of you know, postseason play at the SEC tournament in St. Louis or the NCAA tournament in Nashville, I could do TV work too. So I doubled up quite a bit. So it did keep me hopping. But, you know, again, I enjoy it. And I'm sure someday I'll slow down, but not yet.
Well, that's great. I want to talk about one game in particular and see if you were thinking the same way I am here. the Kentucky game. Was that really the standout game for the basketball Tigers this year?
I thought that was a really good one. Yeah, at home when beat them by 9 points, and you know, at the time held them to a low scoring total for the season. And I think it was the lowest point total Kentucky had scored in like 3 years. They had 18 points in the first half. They, I don't think, made a single three-point shot in the first half. It was really a tremendous defensive performance by Missouri. That was a good one. I think he's also the home game against Tennessee. That was a big win for Missouri, beating a couple of really good teams. And I think you mentioned it earlier, alluded at least to Konza Martin. What a job he did, I thought, with everything going on around Michael Porter's health and availability, to still come in first year, win 20 games, and get him to the tournament, finish fifth in a good conference, and they were picked fifth before the season, assuming they'd have everybody available. Yet they didn't, and still managed to get there.
You've talked to Konza many times, mm-hmm. Coach Martin. And give us a general sense of what kind of a man he is, what kind of a coach he is.
You know, I'm really impressed by him as a person. When he was hired, I thought it made all the sense in the world. I really did. And I said that, you know, on the air and certainly privately as well. I didn't know him personally, but I knew of him. And I knew a lot of people who knew him over the years. I followed him relatively closely because he was at Missouri State for a while down in Springfield. And, of course, in the SEC at Tennessee before going out to Cal. And I just thought, you know, guy with Midwestern ties, you know, from the St. Louis area, East St. Louis, really solid guy, good track record. And, I mean, what you see is what you get. He's just very real, straightforward. I think he recruits well. I think he's going to help Missouri, which could use help in the St. Louis metro area, especially recruiting. So many good players over the years have gotten away to other schools and eventually the NBA. There's some really good talent there the next few years. So I thought it was a great hire, and I was really impressed that Jim Sterk, Missouri's athletic director, was able to get it done so quickly and decisively. I mean, we've had a lot of situations over the years where it really hasn't been done too smoothly, but this was a smooth and solid hire, and I think it really bodes well for the future.
Kind of interested for your thoughts on where you think we'll be at next year. Konza, of course, great recruiter, mm-hmm. but of course, you know, Jonte has declared for the NBA draft. He does not have an agent, so he could possibly return. We don't foresee that.
Could still come back, but maybe not.
Right, and Michael Porter Jr. also has declared, and he has an agent, so he's on his way for sure.
Right, he's not coming back. And then, of course, you lose Cassius Robertson, who was the best player on the floor. You know, he played every game and led the league in minutes played and the Tigers in scoring and was an all-first-team SEC member. I mean, really impressive. And, of course, Jordan Barnett was second on the team in scoring and second on the team in minutes played. So if, in fact, both the Porters leave, while Michael didn't play much, Jonte played a ton, co-sixth man of the year, all-freshman team. It's a little bit of a rebuild after 1 year, unfortunately, which he probably didn't foresee coming. So it'll, you know, be a, I think, tough, honestly, to get back to the tournament if all four of those guys are gone. But again, I think he's a pretty good recruiter, has a good beat on a lot of good players in the class of 2019, so hopefully get back up. But, you know, that's how fleeting things are. You get the Porters and all the attention and excitement about that, and it's understandable through the recruiting process, and then poof, in 1 year, very likely they're both gone. So much for that.
Sports is a funny thing.
It is,
it?
Yeah.
It can be changed by an injury.
It can be fleeting, yeah.
A declaration, absolutely. So kind of switching gears a little bit, we'll be coming up on football here very soon.
Yeah.
Of course, you are reporting there as well. Your thoughts, we have a new offensive coordinator, mm-hmm. Derek Dooley, who has come in. How do you think the chemistry is going to be between him and our quarterback?
Well, hopefully it'll be good, and I think it will. You know, Drew Locke is such a talent, bright kid, very mature. Great that he's coming back, I think, for himself and obviously the program. So, you know, that's really going to be interesting to watch how they change things up. I think there'll be a lot more of Drew under center, you know, taking a direct snap as opposed to the shotgun. And Dooley's going to change some things. But, man, there's a lot of talent on the offensive side. You know, they have just about all their starters back, starting with the quarterback. So I'm like you and probably everybody else anxious to see how the offense looks, you know, different, but hopefully still successful, because scoring points wasn't a problem for them last year. They just had to stop the other guys, and they took advantage certainly of a better schedule as the season wore on in the second half. I mean, that's just part of it.
No doubt about it. High hopes there for Mizzou. We'll kind of switch gears, and we'll go national level. What about those St. Louis Cardinals? You know, we're a big Redbird station
here. Of course. I know. You're a little closer to St. Louis than we are in Columbia by a few miles at least. No, I think, you know, it's going to be interesting. I think it always comes down to pitching, you know, in baseball. It's such a dominant position in the sport, and we'll see how they do. They've had an interesting beginning, right about 500 here. A couple of crazy games with the Brewers, who figured to be one of their rivals in the National League Central. Seems to me they like playing extra innings. And then, of course, the Cubs look strong again, too. Kind of a big year for them coming back after the world title 2 years ago. So they got a lot of tough competition in their own division. You know,
Pirates are surprised.
Pirates
this year,
have set a quick pace too in first place out of the gate. So it's going to be a challenge for the Cards. But you know, I always expect them to be in the thick of it, at least be a contender.
Absolutely. And you know, Kansas City, you guys do a lot of coverage for the Royals
there.
Yeah, and you know, they put together a couple of strings of wins. The springtime, as we're calling it, has not been too kind to them. They've had a couple of cancellations, but maybe if they get into a groove.
Yeah, you know, they've got some good talent still. You know, they certainly lost a couple of good players, Eric Hosmer and Lorenzo Cain, but what a run they've had the last few years. It's been so good to see them back up. And again, as we're in Columbia, obviously we try to cover them both 50-50 as much as possible. I think the Cardinals, you know, have been around obviously longer, had more success historically. But there's a lot of Royals interest certainly in our area too, and especially with their recent success. So, you know, a little bit of a step back. It's a challenge for them, smaller market, smaller payroll. We'll see how they sustain. But it's been a lot of fun being over there, because it used to be where I was going to St. Louis, you know, for all the success and postseason play. But we've been to the other side of the state, too, actually, more recently, and that's been fun.
No doubt about it. And we'll look forward to whenever they get together and play each other. That series is always fun twice a year.
Oh, it's great. It's really great. And, again, it's been good with both teams having pretty good success recently.
Right on. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll take our second break here on Public Perspectives. We'll come back with our third and final segment. Chris Gervino's on the show this morning. It's Public Perspectives, AM 1340 KXEO. Welcome back to our third and final segment here on Public Perspectives, AM 1340 KXEO. Chris Gervino, the sports director for Channel 8 KOMU, is here in the studio this morning. We've kind of been talking a little sports this morning, but that's what he does.
Imagine that, huh?
Right. He actually has a sports show, too. I'm sure everybody has tuned in at one point or another and seen that. Talk a little bit. It comes on Sunday nights, I believe, on Channel 8. What is it,
10:30?
And talk a little bit about what goes into preparing for that show every week.
Okay, well, you know, it's a lot of fun. We started it, actually I was at KMIZ, as I mentioned earlier, for 11 years and started it there. And then when Channel 8 hired me back to start January of 2000, they wanted to start the Sunday show. That was a big, I think, reason in bringing me over there, because we'd done it for many years at the other station. So it's good. You know, it's just like there's so much sports going on in a college town, especially in football and basketball season during the school year with Mizzou. And of course, now in the SEC, it's just ratcheted up even a little bit more. But it's really kind of like a weekend recap, you know, especially I think that the best time is the football and basketball season because of the collegiate sports. And we can really give a full roundup of that, and where we have more time than we would on just a normal 3 or 4 minute, you know, newscast during the week. But then we also do a lot of the high school football. We do a plays of the week feature during the high school segment. Mexico Bulldogs often prominently featured.
Yes, indeed. Don't forget about our state wrestling champions.
I know.
Right?
How about that, too? Exactly. So, you know, really, so we just, it's just a good chance to do a lot. We usually bring in a guest, you know, another media member, sometimes coaches from the area. And, again, you know, it's funny. You think of, there's so much we have. We cover St. Louis and Kansas City professional teams. We cover Mizzou. We have a lot of area college and high school teams, obviously. So, you know, I think it's well worth doing, and been lucky to have it going, you know, so long. It's hard to believe, approaching 20 years of Channel 8 after, you know, like I said, 11 over at KMIZ. So it's amazing, 30 years of Sunday night television. And now, of course, honestly, my former station still does it. And so two of the three stations in the market have it, which I think shows that there's a demand and an interest in it.
Oh, definitely, for sure. Talk about maybe some of the, do you try and focus more local, or do you do University of Missouri stuff as well, or just kind of a mix?
Kind of a mix, honestly. I mean, I think first and foremost, it's really clear we emphasize Mizzou, and, you know, we're right there. I think we can cover Mizzou, you know, unlike really anyone else, because even like, you know, ESPN, the national outlets, will give them a little time or some highlights occasionally, but obviously they really focus on the pro teams and go in depth with them. But, you know, we're right there, so we do a lot. And I think there's so much demand for Mizzou, especially football and basketball are clearly the most popular sports. You hear that, and it's very much true, without a doubt. I get asked so many times more about the Mizzou football and basketball teams than anything else. But then we also do try to blend in a lot of the local teams. Mexico's, you know, we certainly get over and cover the Bulldogs regularly in the football season and select basketball games as well. And of course, the challenge is we have so many high schools in our area. We have, I think, about 45 technically that play football, and about double that that play basketball and the other sports, obviously, when you include all the smaller schools. So it's a lot to keep up with. You got to fit as much as you can in a short amount of time, and, you know, try to do that the best we can.
It's not easy to do sometimes, especially on Football Friday nights when you're covering the whole area and you're trying to get that in like a minute and a half. And
that's called organized chaos,
that's
Matt,
right.
Is what that is.
Sounds like my life.
Yeah, there you go. You could relate.
Exactly. Well, you know, you've been to a lot of sporting events over the years. You've done a lot of on-air work. I was wondering, you know, last time we had one of your colleagues, Mr. Jim Reek.
I'm glad you survived that interview.
Oh, it was awesome.
He's the best.
He is. He was sharing very funny stories.
Oh, he's a storyteller.
He is. He is. Yeah. And having students at the station, maybe some mess-ups that they had done. Do you have any stories that you could share with us on the air?
Oh, gosh. Again, I told you when we came in here before we started, Jim's a tough act to follow.
Oh, no.
He's certainly doing the right thing as a storyteller. You know, not in particular. It's just it is interesting because a lot of people, you know, say, oh, if I need to crack up, you know, I'll watch Channel 8 on the weekends or the mornings, you know, when all the students are involved and start. And I say, hey, I get it. It's true, you know. But you know, I went through the school there, and it's a great learning experience. And, you know, the old adage, baptism by fire. I mean, that's how it happened. So I certainly wouldn't knock it because we've turned out, luckily, so many people in the profession. But it is interesting, and the students do keep you on your toes. Some people, you know, you hear the phrase, oh, they keep you young. Well, I think also they might age you a few years, too, at particular
right.
times. But no, it's been good. It's a very unique experience, though. And I think, you know, many people, if not most people, realize that KOMU is affiliated with the University of Missouri and the School of Journalism. So we are the commercial NBC affiliate locally, but it's also a teaching lab, so to speak. And like I mentioned earlier, I'm the one full-timer. Other than that, anybody involved with sports is a student. So, you know, that's a rather bold and daring, you know, challenge. But you know, hopefully it works out pretty well by and large.
Oh, I think it's great. And they probably get to look back on some things, too, later on in their careers and laugh about some things.
Yeah, and, you know, we've been lucky. We have a lot of people, you know, all over the country doing various jobs and working with professional teams or ESPN in some cases. So it speaks for itself, really, I think, the track record.
No doubt. Any favorite sport that you have that you could tell us today?
Gosh, well, I like to play golf, but just because I like it doesn't mean I'm very good. Of course, as we sit here, it's a nice day. I'm tempted to go next door to the Mexico Country Club, see if I can get on the course. But
right.
No, I've got to work, but that's a nice little golf course as well. But that's really one of my favorite sports as I get older, and Jim plays really well too, Jim Reek. So we have enjoyed some times together on the golf course. But I like them all. You know, the answer that's easy to say but true is that whatever sport's in season, you know, and that's the good thing about them. So I really enjoy most of them. Some, like I said, I played younger better than others, but at least I can talk about them all.
Absolutely. If you had the opportunity to broadcast a major sporting event, what would it be? World Series, Super Bowl, NBA Finals?
Boy, that's a good question. It would be fun to do the NBA Finals, maybe with Ty Lue coaching the Cleveland Cavaliers. That would be pretty neat because I just think the world of him and the job he's done. So that's good. And then also, again, speaking of golf, since we're shortly after the Masters, that would be kind of fun. I'd have to talk quietly, though, in my golf voice. But it would be fun to go there and see the golf course in the tournament. I really enjoy that as well.
That would be a lot of fun. And I'll ask you the same question as I asked Mr. Reek. If you did not go into sports broadcasting, what other profession would you have gone into?
You know, that's a really good question. I'm not sure. I really don't know what I would have done. I think my mom had hoped when I was young or thought I might be a priest someday, but that didn't turn out necessarily. So, but, you know, sometimes I think maybe a teacher as well. And there's a little bit of that, I think, with my work at Channel 8, you know, at Mizzou. But, yeah, I'll tell you, Matt, I've just always, you know, known I wanted to do this. And I can't imagine doing anything else. So I guess that's a good thing. And, you know, like I said, eventually I'll slow down. But I can't imagine, like, ever switching to another profession. It would just be too difficult. This has been my life. I've been lucky.
Absolutely. And what's the most rewarding thing about your job?
You know, I think just, you know, and I mean this, that people like you would care to talk to me or just, you know, folks around town. I mean, I come to Mexico, for example, and I'll stop and maybe get something to eat or put gas in the car, whatever, and people will say nice things because they'll recognize, you know, from your work, and that's nice. And, you know, they don't have to do that. And it's flattering and a reminder that, you know, even though you're sitting in a studio in Colombia, it's amazing. You go all around the central part of the state, you know, with the Mizzou broadcast on radio. People, I guess, recognize my voice and now if not my face, and we'll be in St. Louis or Kansas City and they'll know you, or you'll be at events and they'll say hello to you. So, you know, that's very flattering and still surprising. But even if people don't necessarily know you really well personally, they just know you professionally, it seems they're often very nice because they feel like they know you. And that's good. I hope they feel that way. And I appreciate that.
I think everybody does. I remember seeing you here at the Teron Lue Day of Celebration.
Wasn't that great? That was one of my favorite events I cover. When you talk about events and things, and not to cut you off,
no.
But as opposed to games games. And that was one of the neatest days. And I said that to people for days after. I remember it was right before the 4th of July and that whole next week. I said, that was such a neat event and how it was so well done and just the community coming together. I really enjoyed that.
Well, we enjoyed having you here. And I was in awe of how you were getting everyone organized with your crew. You were pointing out, and it seemed to me like you had a photographic memory. Here, that's the mayor, and you would name off his name, and this is you knew everybody.
I've been here a long time, but it helps.
Right?
And I've been blessed. I mean, I always say God gave me a great memory, if nothing else, and I'm lucky to have a lot of blessings. But it really does help in the job. I mean, that I do have a good memory, so that really helps too. And again, I've been even to Mexico so many times over the years. Enjoy it very much.
Well, we enjoyed having you here today, having you there then, and watching you on TV quite frequently. Thanks for coming down to do the show this morning.
My pleasure. Keep up the good work on KXEO.
Right on. 70 years on the air, by the way, this year.
I know. Congratulations. Happy anniversary. And you haven't been here for quite all 70, have
you? No, I'm going to be here for the next 70, though.
There you go. I like that attitude. Put that in writing. I'll make sure your bosses have heard that.
Right on. We do appreciate it. This has been another edition of Public Perspectives, AM 1340 KXEO.